101.9 AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
And good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know the first part of this show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection. They're at 2568 South Church Street, right there beside Gateway Tire Center in the strip mall. And Pastor Larry Dunn is one of the owners at ERO Ministry and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly. They buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware, and they have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And I have seen them, and I can vouch for that. And if you go in there real soon, you can even lay away for Christmas. For a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Golden Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street, or give them a call at 890-2646. You know, this is the time of year where you go out and you get to meet friends and have all kinds of joyous occasion. I was fortunate enough to be over at the Cannon County Courier today and having lunch, and got to meet a lot of nice people and friends that I've known for many, many years. And it's just something about the holidays that just kind of uplifts your spirits and makes you feel good, warm and fuzzy, as they say. But not everybody has that opportunity. And I have a sweet lady, Lee Ann Newton, on with me today, and she has made it her life's goal to make sure that our veterans, especially when we're talking about our wounded veterans, are not forgotten. Even though a lot of times they're out of our mind, especially this time of year, we're not sitting on a war front in the United States. And it's very rarely has anything touched us. So it's almost been out of mind, out of sight. But that's not the way the real world is, because we have a lot of brave young men that are out there fighting so that you can have all the wonderful blessings that you have here in the United States. And Lee Ann, I want to let you know it's a privilege to have you here today, because we need somebody to make sure that those soldiers are not forgotten.
Thank you for having me. Well, I'm that person.
Yes, you are that person.
I've made it my business to be that person since 2006.
Now, you are married to a vet.
That's correct, a disabled veteran.
And he was in the service for, I think you said, 26 years.
That's correct, yes.
And you've seen firsthand what our GIs have to go through.
I have. You know, we... Being in the Army family, it is a family, mm-hmm. and you see things and experience things being part of the military family that the normal civilian will never go through,
right.
And just the small things, I guess they're small to us, but they're really not, like mm-hmm. when your husband or your spouse is deployed, mm-hmm. That constant worry. And when they come back or you see someone who's reunited, mm-hmm. it's like, I mean, they can't help but they grin, and then they grab them, and then they fall apart,
mm-hmm.
because you just never relax, and you know, while they're gone. And the soldiers we're going to talk about today is the reason we never relax, because some of them don't come back at all,
mm-hmm.
and some of them come back in pieces, and some of them need your encouragement to make a full recovery.
Now, as a wife, were you prepared for the way things, the trauma and the emotions that go through having a loved one overseas and know about all the things that they're going through?
I don't think that you know if you're prepared or how strong you are until you do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are on a military base, you're not alone. You have
right.
other spouses. For a lot of our reservists and their families, they're in communities just like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're experiencing that, but they do not have that extended network that we tend to have on a base. And I've been on a base in that situation. I've been off a base in that situation. my daughter, her husband just returned from deployment last Saturday and his second deployment. And she spent a good bit of time with us this time. It was very hard for her, and she has a full-time career. But it's just that never knowing, you know, some of them, they just don't come back. We all know somebody that didn't come back.
You know, the GIs themselves, the ones that are on, are the ones that are actually serving our country. They rely on each other. It doesn't matter from where they come from and the conditions of their families or anything like that. Once they're in the service, they have an adopted new family, and they're able to rely on each other in a continuous way. How about one of the wives or one of the spouses is left behind? Do you have kind of a family atmosphere or a group where you can go to and you share your fears and your apprehensions?
I think, you could have 10 wives in here and they would answer that in 10 different ways. Mm-hmm. You seem to fall in one of two categories. You either learn to live with it and appreciate the benefits of having a full-time job, mm-hmm. regardless of the cost, or you never adjust. And those folks, the divorce rate is around 60% in the military. It's very hard. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's not gone up with the last 10 years of war. When your husband, when you see your husband, approximately 3 months out of 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I say that because not only when you hear they go on a 9-month deployment, but what people don't realize is that for 2 months prior to that deployment, mm-hmm. they're getting ready for deployment.
Right.
And so they're going through training. So you're not seeing very much of them then. When they come back, they have another month of debriefing. And now with the suicide rate being what it is, they've added additional time to that. And then they go right back on exercises. So it really, there are networks available. You mm-hmm. tend... Though it's like anywhere else, you tend to find someone you relate to. Mm-hmm. You make friends quicker because we move. Mm-hmm. So you don't waste time kind of trying to figure out how this family is mm-hmm. or do they know anybody, because nobody knows anybody.
Right.
So you do kind of just reach out and you want to go to lunch mm-hmm. and you try it out, It's like, okay, this is somebody I can talk to, or no, this one's not going to work. And then you support each other if someone's ill, someone's kids are down, you cook for each other, mm-hmm. You trade off babysitting. So yes, there is a network, but you have to get out and take advantage of it. The men and the women that are in uniform, they're dictated mm-hmm. to do certain things. It's not
right.
a democracy,
right.
And like in basic training, they will stand them in front of that phone booth and say, you will call home and let your parents know you're okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't do that with family members.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are, someone who's on, in that position, encourage them. If they get depressed or if they're not going out, if they're not adjusting, it's important for anybody that knows someone like that to encourage them to go out, go to the MWR functions. They take trips. They have lots of free things for you mm-hmm. to take advantage of, but you have to get out and do it.
One of the very few times will the movies depict what really goes on in a soldier's family's life. There was a movie that came out not too far in the distant past called We Were Soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw it or not. It's a Mel Gibson movie. But it focused as much on the family that was still on base and still home, and waiting and trying to find out what was going on with their spouse over mm-hmm. in Vietnam. That was mm-hmm. during that particular time. And the thing that was so heart-wrenching was those ladies, the letters would start coming, and they would be mailed to them, and the cabs would deliver them. And I never will forget, one of the ladies made the comment that we were just not ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
Has that improved any over the years as far as being able to relate directly to the victims' families?
I would like to say yes, but I don't know. Because mm-hmm. We have there's an organization, and it's Military Widows, and I belong to it. I'm not a widow, mm-hmm. but I try to send encouraging messages mm-hmm. To them. Excuse me. And if you try to talk to someone or you say, you know, visit this website, there's just this, oh, no, I don't want to go there. That's depressing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the level of support is for these women and mm-hmm. their families. And we now have a lot of widowed men also
right.
Who are trying to raise families. So I don't know that it's improved. I do know that with technology and emails and that sort of thing, that the word does get there quicker. But I also have a good friend and a co-author of mine who is a retired Army chaplain now, and he did a lot of had to do a lot of those death notices, mm-hmm. and he said the downside to that was that a lot of times they already knew, mm-hmm. and so they would walk into something and they have a certain duty. They have to stay and they have to do certain things. And, you know, you can only imagine what somebody in uniform is going to be met with if people that are receiving this news have already gotten that news. So, in effect, that lost some of its, I'm sorry, I'm going to use that word, effectiveness, though. Mm. But, you know, it's... I mean, I don't think anything makes it easier. I do tell people the reason I say a card or a letter mm-hmm. is because, number one, it doesn't cost anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're all strapped these days.
Right.
But you can fold a piece of paper in half, seriously, and just write an encouraging note. That's good enough. But there's nothing like a handwritten letter. They will take those, and they can take them out in the field with them. If they're in the hospital, they can put them up on their walls, and they can read them again and again and again. And with email, we just don't do that. It's not the same. That pencil that or pen was held by somebody you cared about or mm-hmm. who cared about you, and there's a connection there that you just don't get with technology. And through all my research, you know, I've got books about veterans in the Civil War, mm-hmm. and all the way through my research, my dad was a World War II vet. I have all mm-hmm. his letters that he wrote home.
Wow. Good for you.
That I plan to get in book form for the family at some point. But the soldiers will tell you there just is nothing more important than getting that letter.
Well, you know, when you're married to a GI, mm-hmm. no matter what branch, there's actually two that are affected by that, because your life is going to be changed and his or her life is going to mm-hmm. be changed. Once they go over into the war zone, mm-hmm. they may come back fully whole as far as physical, but there's an effect there.
Always.
Always an effect. And it not only is going to affect the one that is actually over in combat, but it's going to affect the one at home, because the one at home is going to have to deal directly with all the damage mm-hmm. that's done, whether it's emotional, physical, or what else. And that has got to be tough. And you were talking about the divorce rate a mm-hmm. minute ago. That has got to have a tremendous effect. If the spouse at home is not prepared for something like this, which they should be mm-hmm. when they go, it's going to be a very difficult living condition if right. they're not ready, if the one at home is not strong.
Right. And I will tell you that, I mean, the military, they do everything they can, but they're a government entity, mm-hmm. and you can only personalize that so far. I mean, they have classes for the spouses. There are things that they say are mandatory. They can't make you come, but they, you know, you have to go and make sure that will's filled out, that you have your power of attorney before they leave. Mm-hmm. And my daughter will tell you, and I will tell you, that nothing breaks until they leave, you know, mm-hmm. and then the lawnmower will break and, you know, mm-hmm. Something will flood and some appliance will go out. It's just, and those are the things that you don't expect, you know, mm-hmm. so you ready yourself for the separation. I always found that my husband and I, we always tended to fight, you know, a couple days prior. And when we were younger, mm-hmm. in the younger years, and I used to try and think, why are we fighting? We're getting ready to be apart for so long. And then it would dawn on me, well, it makes it a little bit easier. You know, it's, you don't want to cry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're either going to be mad to keep the tears back,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to be a mess. And they don't need to see that before they leave. they need to be focused on their mission so they come back. You know, if they're a distracted soldier, they'll say a distracted soldier is a dead soldier. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to be focused.
Right.
And if they have troubles at home, they have troubles with their kids. So a lot of the wives, they don't tell their spouses this mm-hmm. when they're gone. They deal with it, figure out a way to deal with it.
Do most of the spouses stay on base, or do a lot of them just pack up and go where mom and dad or somewhere where they have family members that they can share with?
It depends on where they are in their age group, whether mm-hmm. they have small children, where they already have children in school. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a career because we move so often. There are now... the Army has addressed that. They're continue to address that so people can get their degrees and have careers that will follow with them. Mm-hmm. So my daughter, for instance, she has a career that's very portable. And so she could bring her computer and fly out to her meetings, and we'd watch her dog and her cat. Mm. And she had a home to come back to. Mm-hmm. She didn't do that the first time. I think she wanted to be brave, and she wanted, you know, to... I did, mom did it, I can do it kind of mm-hmm. thing. But she doesn't have kids, and I did. So she said just coming home to an empty house is just awful. And I lived on base. I embraced that. Mm-hmm. I loved that. I felt more safe. I felt safer being on a base. She, because the military has so much of her husband, she mm-hmm. doesn't want to walk out her front door and be reminded of it. So mm-hmm. everybody's a little different. Mm-hmm. Most of you are enlisted. Live on post, and then your officers tend to live off post, but it depends on what's available. But enlisted always have first dibs on on-base housing.
Now, when we bring up enlisted and officers, I know that there's not a lot of things that they do together as far as enlisted men and officers. I think they still have to have that separate rank structure, no matter.
They do.
Is that common with the wives too? If you're a wife of an enlisted person rather than an officer, or do you have a number of friends that were officers' wives?
I can go back to one particular time. It was during Desert Storm, and we were at Fort Sheridan at the time mm-hmm. in Illinois, and I went to a Protestant women's chapel group. That was my one. They had babysitting, so that was my mm-hmm. one break. You know, I could actually mm-hmm. go to something and talk with other women and have a break from the kids. And I met a few officers' wives there, but I did not. We were in, and then we were out, and then we were back in. Mm-hmm. So I had most of them, maybe all of them, had never been out of the Army. So once they joined or married in, they'd never seen the other side. Mm-hmm. So that structure was very ingrained, mm-hmm. the separation.
Right.
And, I was bluntly told a couple of times, because my husband was enlisted. You know, he retired out as a master sergeant, that there's certain, you can't come to this dine-in, or you can't, you know, do certain things.
Well, that's the way it was when I was in.
Yeah. and I don't know if that is as prevalent. I would say it probably is. I don't know that their reasoning, I think their reasoning is a little outdated for that sort of thing. Most of our soldiers have, are very educated and intelligent. They have to be to even get in these days, but that has stayed in place.
Now, something had to strike something into your brain. A big idea popped up that you wanted to get involved in this. What was the thing that actually got your attention so that you would start this wonderful project that you're working on?
I had done, up to this point, I've always been very involved with the military. I did over 10,000 volunteer hours. Mm-hmm. And so they're near and dear to me, number one. But there was a catalyst. And a friend of mine, her son lost both legs in an IED, and three comrades. Mm-hmm. And he went to Walter Reed. And so I wanted to send a package. I wanted to send things to him. Well, this was in 2006. It was shortly... maybe even during the time that the anthrax scare was going on. And Walter Reed would not allow anything in unless it was carried in by a family member. And I was in, we were in Kentucky, I believe, at the time. And so anyway, no, we were here. We were here in Tennessee. I get confused, been a lot of places, but
I don't see how you keep up with it as it is.
So anyhow, I decided that I wanted to do more. Mm-hmm. You know, his sister kept a blog, and that just brought it home. I mean, we followed his surgeries. She'd post his x-rays. He had 17 surgeries before all was said and done. He was in Walter Reed for almost 2 years. So my son at that point in time was at Scales Elementary, and he was a first grader. And so I said, Michael, you know, let's just see if somebody would want to make some cards for the soldiers for Christmas. Because Josh was wounded in October. So, you know, we're coming in the holiday season. So we put one box in Scales, and I did a little announcement. And the box filled up twice. And so that's what we sent. And my co-author, the retired chaplain, he knew Judith Markell, who started the Soldier Family Assistance Center at Fort Sam Houston for Brooks Army Medical Center. And so I asked him, I said, can you find us a place to send them? Because Walter Reed won't take them. And so he did. He put me in touch with her. And I've been sending them ever since. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And then, so the more I find out, the more I want to do. And people want to say thank you. That's what I found. That's what people ask me. You know, it's such a busy time of year. How on earth, you know, why do you do this? And I say, how can I not do this? When you look at the pictures, or I've brought you some pictures in here today.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you not? There's this soldier, and he's, you know, this particular one is in Kandahar, on Kandahar base, and it's a tent. It's still a tent facility hospital. And their troops, their units are still in the fight. And I'm sure if you listen to the news at all, you know, Kandahar's the hotbed.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are pretty much, they're put in there, and I mean, people check on them, don't get me wrong, but they're forgotten. It's not like they're at a facility, a big hospital facility where someone's checking on them regularly. And they come in out of the field, their uniform basically gets cut off of them. USO provides them a pair of shorts and a shirt, and they're there until they either, one, recover to go back to their unit out in the fight, or they are transported out to either go to Ramstein for further recovery or on home to the U.S.
You know, we've all seen these Bob Hope films where he goes and addresses and entertains the troops in war zone areas. And just to watch the faces of those guys when they come out, and knowing that they've got somebody from home that really cares about them, and they're even risking their lives to be out there with them just to let them know that the word from home is, we appreciate what you're doing, and anything that you need, we're going to be there for you. But when they get over here, a lot of times you see them that maybe they've lost some limbs and been damaged in other ways. Do they receive the respect that they should once they get over here? Because I think a lot of them are forgotten, and maybe it's just our stupidity where we just don't think enough about what they have really done for us, because we take so much for granted in this country. We've been blessed with everything that you can imagine that we have here, but sometimes we still get selfish, and we think that, you know, we're still trying for more and more. But yet, you have these individuals that have given everything. I mean, their lives will never be the same. They'll never be able to walk as well again, or use their hands. And that's something that I think is a shame. And I think that we need more people like you out doing some of this stuff to make their lives better, because, you know, it's really not as bad when you know that somebody really appreciates the heroic things that you've done, and they're all heroic things. And this time of year, you know, as great as it is, people still get down.
Yeah, they sure do, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, and these soldiers that are in the hospital or overseas and wounded, or just overseas serving, they do get down, you know, because they're not going to be with their loved ones for Christmas, or they're not going to be with, you know, they're not even in an area that's recognizable as having anything to do with Christmas. And so the letters and the cards, I tell people, I wish you could see, and I'm working on that, I wish you could see what those messages do for these guys and these gals. When I was going back through, I'll take us back to the Civil War just for a second. And I was reading a journal and it was talking about how when he was in prison and, you know, the conditions were just horrible. The only thing that kept him going and kept him alive, they weren't getting enough food and on, was that he kept thinking about what he called being back in the family circle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, but some of the poor boys did not have that, and they crossed over that dark river. And it's no different today. The folks that have a moral support system, that get encouragement, that know they're appreciated, you know, when they wake up and from their first surgery, they don't remember what happened, and they've gone from being on the battlefield fighting, and then they wake up and they're in a hospital in Germany, and they look down and their leg is gone. You know, family's not there. So, you know, I'm hoping at some point to get a lot of these letters bound in a book so that when they're ready to read anything or somebody read to them, it's a moral boost that, gosh, yes, it wasn't for anything. Mm-hmm. You're going to get through it, you know, and people appreciate it and will always appreciate it and will not forget what you gave, because I don't think you lost a leg. You gave a leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't lose an eye. You gave one.
Well, I hope you do write that book. There's a book that just came out recently. It's been out for a while, called Unbroken. I don't know if you've read it or not, but a friend of mine gave me a copy of that book. And basically, it centers on World War II and the atrocities that went on with our GIs. I mean, they were just brutally massacred in many areas. And they were starving and couldn't have, mm-hmm. and some of them were just so isolated. But the thing that was interesting in the book, it was some of the things that they could bring back up that was as they were growing up in their lives, just simple things mm-hmm. that kept them going. Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting things was one of them knew a recipe of a special meal, and that kept them from losing their mind and kept them concentrating. But they even mentioned the fact that they could even smell and taste the food while he was talking about it and preparing it. And as they were able to share those home experiences, it made things better for them. And it took them away from all the things that, you know, they knew they were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about it, and fortunately the person whose life was being shared in this book did make it, and he was actually an Olympian and very well known, but he was treated just as horrible as anybody could be treated. But these people, that's one thing they need when they see people that are from home.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start to feel human and good about themselves again.
It's what you know. I mean, we get comfort from the things that are familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are in the military, you don't get attached to a place because
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be home. So, you know, you get, I will say that for our family at least, we became very, very close because the only people we could depend on to be there were each other.
Mm-hmm.
We were, you know, always far away from family, and your friends move. Mm-hmm. So you learn to depend on each other. And so those smells and those sounds and just cards, or like in the fall, sending a box of leaves and acorns and things like that to somebody who grew up in a mm-hmm. place like that, and they can mm-hmm. stick their nose down in there. And it does. It encourages you, and it makes you feel a little bit closer to home. But I would like to share one example of things that people don't know. And my nephew, who he was wounded in the war, and he's good. He didn't have a permanent injury. He got his Purple Heart, mm-hmm. something I told him not to get when he left. But he was a medic. And when the Marines would go, or the Army guys would go out to fight in the summertime, they'd line them up. And they give them an IV, and they give them two bags of fluids before they sent them out to fight every day. Mm. And so then when they came back, they got two more bags of fluids because, you know, and people don't know that. They don't realize just what these guys are dealing with on a daily basis.
We're going to take a quick break, okay, and we'll be right back with you, Lynn. And speaking of home, At Home Care. And they're located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And you can reach them at 713-4639. And they come into your home 24/7 when you're no longer able to take care of the normal duties that you have in your home. And they will take care of those for you. And they will also run errands. And Melissa Warren started this business a few years ago because she saw a direct need for people to be able to stay in their home and still enjoy their quality of life. Now, you can pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, or call them, like I said earlier, 713-4639, and you'll be glad you did.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Before the cold winter wind blows, be sure to take care of your car. Bring it by and let us check the battery and coolant. We'll do a complete car check, look at tires, wipers, and more to make sure it's safe for the road. That's Todd's Complete Auto Care. We're on Southeast Broad Street, 962-9050.
This is Steve Grimsley with Zippy Shell. Are you looking for storage? Perhaps you're preparing your home for sale, downsizing, or just in need of some extra space. Well, then you should give us a call. We offer convenient, affordable storage solutions right here in Rutherford County. We deliver a storage container to you, you pack it, and we'll pick it up and store your goods in our secure facility. We are locally owned and operated. To check out our grand opening specials, give us a call at 216-7879 or visit us at zippyshell.com. Save time, save money, save everything.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Visiting with Polly Walls at the Omni Hut Restaurant. What's on the menu?
Traditional luau dinners, steak, seafood, chicken, shrimp Panamanian, which is a large Gulf Coast wild-caught shrimp, Tahitian tidbits only at the Omni Hut, from a pork brisket with our teriyaki sauce that we do.
Rediscover the Omni Hut.
Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan. Aloha!
Lots to enjoy this coming weekend. A dinner theater Friday and Saturday nights at 6:30 and 1 o'clock Sundays over at the Art Center of Cannon County in neighboring Woodbury. That's the hilarious play, Nonsense. The Dinner Theater is through December 17th. And here in Murfreesboro, it's the Nun Crackers. Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 2. And that's through December the 18th. And Smyrna's Lamplighter Theater is presenting A Christmas Carol. That's Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 4:30. A Christmas Carol through December 17th. Lamplighters Theater in Smyrna. And the Murfreesboro Rotary Club's annual Pancake Breakfast is this Saturday morning from 7 until 10:30 over at Middle Tennessee Christian School. This is one of those annual events that should become a tradition. And the Bicentennial Christmas Parade is this Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Starts in front of the MTSU President's Home, goes down East Main, around the square, and onto West Main, and wraps up on Walnut Street. That Bicentennial Christmas Parade, 2 o'clock this Sunday. And those are a few WGNS Good Neighbor events.
WeatherEye.
Sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon, high in the upper 40s. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 27. Sunny on Saturday, high of 41. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 46.
Smoked wings, barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day, they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
With today's guest, LeAnn Newton.
Welcome back with LeAnn and I, and we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza, and they have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items that are unique to Blue. They have 6 items for lunch at just $6, and enjoy their Sunday Live brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza, and be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. Blue Restaurant and Bar owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. Now, we were talking about your book. Now, when are we going to see that thing hit the streets and so we can start reading it?
Well, I am hopeful. I'm not sure it'll happen this year. I've got to get the 501c3 in place, and I'll have to get a grant to fund the project. But what will be in this book is, over the last 3 years, I have kept copies of the most amazing letters that came through, and also taken pictures of a lot of the cards the kids have made. Mm-hmm. And they're just amazing. And when I hear people, you know, criticize the American public for being selfish and being this and that, I'm like, you know, I wish you could just spend a day reading these cards with me. And yes, there are, you know, there's a lot of different people in our population, but it's a minority. I say Americans are the most generous people on earth.
They are, but you have to get our interest. You have to tweak it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing.
Right. And so what I want to do with these is I'm going to put them in a bound book. Mm-hmm. And so every soldier in every hospital gets one of these books when they come in, or when they're ready enough, you know, for that. And I actually hadn't thought about putting that out for the public, but there probably would be an interest for others to, and encouraging others to give. I had somebody yesterday, and she said, "You have been such an inspiration to me this week." She said, You just do it. And she's like, with writing and things, and what your project is. And I said, but I get so much out of it. Mm-hmm. I just do. And I was, you know, I'll get a couple letters and I'll run out there to my husband. I did it last night, you know. He was trying to do some work and I kept interrupting him and saying, "Oh, listen to this one. You just listen to this one. Mm-hmm. Look at this one. Look what this little boy drew." And they're just precious. So if you want, you know, to reach out to a soldier, and I hope you do, we will be in the parade Sunday at 2. I'll have my husband will be driving the truck, and there'll be a big Christmas tree on the back. It's not a float, and it'll look like my logo. It'll have a big yellow ribbon around it and a big red, white, and blue star on the top. And we will pick up cards, gifts, whatever you want to give along the route, and be sure that those get out. They'll get mailed out Monday morning. They'll be going out to the wounded.
Now, what does the yellow ribbon signify?
Well, you know, it's the old moniker. I kept it around my tree for years, and I'm so sad that we still have a war. It just breaks my heart. I cried when it started, and it seems like I can bring up the tears at a moment's notice, because I just wish it wasn't so. But it is, and I'm one of those people like, okay, so it is, so what can I do? Mm-hmm. And this is what I do.
There's so many of our guys out there that really don't have families, close families. And to reach these particular individuals, it really means something special. It really does.
I'll share a little story with you. Okay. Before my nephew, the one that did come back with that medal, I told him not to. They were going to leave in January, and I had Thanksgiving at my house, and he had a friend who had a family, but he didn't have a family. I mean, they hadn't talked to him. He'd been in the service for a year and a half. There'd been no contact there. They really didn't care to hear from him. And so he adopted my nephew as his best buddy, and we therefore adopted him. So whenever Corey would come home, he would bring him with him. Hmm. And, you know, there would be birthday presents and Christmas presents or whatever. So anyway, and it was Thanksgiving, and Corey brought him, and they were so proud of themselves because they hadn't been in that long. They were actually in basic training when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And they came, and they were so proud of those blues. And so they wore their blues to my Thanksgiving dinner, their dress blues. And after dinner, all the kids that had, you know, had all grown up together, my kids and my sister's kids and Jimmy. And so they had a coloring contest. And I've got pictures. And I had to leave and go cry. Because I was like, they're going over.
Mm.
And they're never going to want to do this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you have been touched directly by what goes on during war. And so have quite a few others. But the majority of the people have not. You don't see what's going on. We don't as much, I guess advertise is the wrong word, but we don't show it like, say, in World War II and some of the others. If you lost someone, there would be a star or something that would be put in the window to show what that family has given to this country. It's not just that one individual,
right,
but it's a whole family that did. And you know, that there were some, and Tennessee has been hit hard over the years because of war. I mean, that's one thing that we try to do is honor each and every one of those individuals that has given everything that they could give, and try to honor the family members. And what you're doing with your book, I think, goes a long way toward doing that. Now, how many people would you say actually pen for their cards will actually write some of the soldiers? How many do you think that you've seen so far?
That will actually write a letter in the card instead of just signing it?
Right.
Probably 70%.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And then the others, it'll usually still, it won't just be their name. There'll still be, you know, a thank you for your service in their name. I really get very few that just send a Christmas card and put their name in it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them that take the time to write to a soldier, send a card to a soldier, they're in the mindset to send a message.
Do they know anything at all about the individual they're sending the letter to?
Only the information that people like you help me get out. They don't know anything about, I don't know who those cards are going to go to. I know where they're going, and I know what type of wounds a majority of these folks have.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're long-term, and some of them are never going to recover fully.
Do you think, is there an interaction with the GI who will actually send a letter back to them, and does that open up a relationship?
Well, this is something I'm trying to discover, because I do have people, I tell them, they say, can I put my telephone number? Can I put my email? I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can't guarantee you that you'll get anything back, but you are absolutely welcome to put that in there. And so if there are folks, which is one of the reasons I set up the website, UncleSamsHeroes.com, was I'm hoping I'll get some of those stories now, because my interaction stopped at the end of, you know, the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
With these folks, and I've never had anyone say he wrote me back or I got this or and the soldiers up to this point, this will be the first year they're actually going to receive my information personally, instead of just through the director, you know, just me going with the director. So I'm hoping to get some of those stories, because I believe, with, you know, having sent 46,000 cards to date, that one of those, you know, or a few of those wrote back, you know, wrote a thank you back.
I can't see, you know, that's going to affect the GI when he or she receives that. And I cannot see them not responding back, because it means so much to them to be noticed. And you know, GIs, it's just something that they have given so much. They want to receive a little bit back. You see the guys during certain memorial days and things like that, they're out in parades, whether it's from World War II all the way up. And I was over in Panama City and they were doing a parade for the wounded vets down there.
That's awesome.
And everybody was given a flag, and we lined up for miles down mm-hmm. there. And here they come by in cars, and they got their windows down, and some of them are in convertibles. And to see their faces, I mean, you hear these guys that have been through everything, and tears are flowing down mm-hmm. their faces mm-hmm. because of the respect that everyone is giving them at that time. And it just something, it just does something to you. I mean, there were people from everywhere down there. And I was just tickled to death to be out there and cheer those guys as they went by. I mean, they're the true heroes and the ones that have paid it. You know, when a guy dies during wartime, you know, mm-hmm. it kind of ends right there except mm-hmm. for his family. But for someone who is wounded, it carries on for a number of years.
And
they pay for that deed that they gave to us. And that's something that we should never forget.
Right.
And I would love for what you're doing to be a continuous thing where it's not just a seasonal uh-huh. thing. It's something that happens on a daily basis. So, you know, these guys can get some warmth from the people that
right.
They're protecting.
And it is. It's, you know, the reason that I do Operation Christmas Care is because it has been the time I can get people's attention easiest. And we continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And it is my goal. That is, I have a lot of goals and I have a lot of ambitions with this project. I would love to establish a ranch or something where entire wounded families, there was some, you know, I produce something that they could produce
thing.
Almost like a town, mm-hmm. you know, because the kids, it just affects so many. You have children whose mom or dad, you know, they're now in a wheelchair. You know, mm-hmm. they're not the same person that left, or they have a severe brain injury. You know, that everybody pays that daily price when that happens. So I do want to make this a continuous project. And I had a lady she stepped forward, and I just talked to her before I got here again, but she makes cookies and she loves to make cookies. And some of the places won't take, you know, handmade stuff. Mm. So, but with someone I trust, and now, you know, I have someone who knows me and knows that we, you know, screen everything before we send anything. So I think we're going to be able to get some cookies over to the folks in Kandahar and hopefully also down at down at BAMSI, Brooks Army Medical Center. But yeah, those are things that, I mean, guys eat, you know, if you want to get to a guy's heart.
You better believe it.
You know, they love getting food. And I can remember when my husband and I were dating and he'd be out in the field and I'd send him cans of cookies. And they would be crumbs by the time he got them. I didn't mm-hmm. know anything about packing. I was 15. We started dating when I was 15. And, but he said that, you know, as soon as that package came and that can was there, he took the lid off. He got the first handful and that's all he got. Everybody else just got, you know, passed around. So there's nothing like, you know, sending food or sending warm thoughts or cards or games or just letting them know, you know, that you're still there. The America is still there waiting on them to get back.
Now, he's working with you on this project, right?
Your husband? He is. He actually is at home today. I set two large boxes of cards in front of him last night before I went to bed. I went to work today. I work at MTSU. And so, yes, he was going to go through those cards for me today. Mm-hmm. There was probably 2,000 of them sitting there.
He knows what GIs want.
He does. He absolutely knows exactly what they want, and he is a great screener because there's something in there that would offend him or make him get angry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those cards get pulled. And I will say I'd gone through about 2,500 as of last night, and I've only had to pull five. So
that's good.
That's good.
Now, do you have any dealings at all with the VA hospital?
Not yet. That's another connection I'm working on.
You know, there's so many things that people are working on right now to try to help our GIs. I know that Dan Whittle and Hooper Pennell and Regina Nelson are working with the group of people that's trying to build a home.
The Fisher House.
The Fisher House, over here. And that's such a wonderful project because it deals directly with the family. Mm-hmm. They finally have a place when they get it done where they can come when they're coming from out of this area and where they can stay without a whole lot of expense and being uprooted. And I think it's just such a wonderful thing. And with all you guys working toward one goal, this is going to be really something special. And we want to let you know that the last part of this show is brought to you by Pirtle & Howerton Automotive. And they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shevable, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, give them a call. It's 1-800-264-6800. Of course, that's toll-free. Or pull them up on the internet, pirtlehowerton.com. Or better still, take about a 20-25-minute drive down 231 South just before you get into downtown Shevable. They're on your left. You can't miss the sign, Pirtle & Howerton. Go in and talk to the nice people, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be able to find exactly what you want.
Get a magical deal on fixing your hail-damaged vehicle.
Dent Magic will give you a $100 Visa gift card for Christmas shopping for every repair. Don't wait months to get your car fixed. Dent Magic can get you in this week. Dent Magic will repair your vehicle in 2 days, and they will never drill a hole in your vehicle to access a dent.
They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and will even pay your deductible. Some restrictions apply. Dent Magic, 1 mile west of Coles on Old Fort Parkway in the old fire station. Dent Magic, the industry leader in paintless dent repair.
Visit them on the web
at hailmagic.com.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And today's guest, Leanne Newton.
And we're back, Leanne, real quick. Brian is kind of quick on the trigger. Now, let's make sure that people know how to get in touch with you and some of the things that you're going to be doing.
Okay. So the best way to get in touch with me is through my website. It's UncleSamsHeroes.com. And that's a H-E-R-O-E-S. Some people have left off that E and can't find me. So it's UncleSamsHeroes.com. There's a contact sheet. You can contact me there. I'll get back with you within 24 hours. My address is on there. My telephone number is on there. That is my cell phone. You can call me and I will answer. Leave me a voicemail. I'll call you back. And then also the parade, this Sunday, 2 p.m., we will be picking up cards, donations, gifts, whatever you'd like to give to the Wounded Warriors. And those will all be getting mailed out on Monday.
That is such a great deal. And you were telling me earlier that you received a package from Florida. And I was talking with one of my buddies last Sunday night, and she said, when I told her about what you were doing, she said, I have got to send something to them, because her husband is a retired military person too. But you don't have to be connected with the military anywhere in your long history or anything like that. These are people that are out there that have given everything that they can to make sure that you're still able to live in a free nation. And the greatest nation in the world, and the only reason we are that great is because of them. And it's amazing, Leanne, that it takes people like you to continually get our attention, and it really shouldn't be that way, but I'm afraid it's always going to be that way, and we still need you on the front lines with everybody else. And let's hope that your army grows and to the point where there's nobody left without a card and without knowing that people out here really do care for them.
And I do want to tell y'all too, don't put that card in an envelope. A lot of the soldiers can't open them, so we don't send them in envelopes. So all you need, you can fold a piece of paper in half if you need to, write an encouraging note, bring it to the parade. I don't need a stamp, and I don't need an envelope. I just need a card.
Now, where do they drop the card? You're going to be on a
I have a truck, and we will be walking with the truck
gathering
them along the route.
Okay.
And I also have a drop box at Line Ball Library. And there's several on campus, but I'm picking those up today. So Line Ball Library will stay. Oh, one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have leftover cards, this is something I need. It's something new we're doing. If you have leftover cards, doesn't matter what kind of card, holiday card, birthday card, get well card, drop it by Line Ball in the next 2 weeks, and we will put those to good use.
Let's hope it gets so high you can't even walk through the door.
I hope so.
Leanne, it's been a pleasure, and thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, and we'll see everybody back Monday at 2 o'clock.